There's a text of scripture that has shaped my life in a very significant way. Just one little verse in Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's verse 3. It's in the context of this great Pauline epistle, the magisterial epistle that Paul wrote to the churches in Ephesus and surrounding Ephesus probably. And just an amazing epistle. It starts out in Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, just laying the doctrinal foundation, and then 4 through 6, the practical application. Chapters 1 to 3 has a structure, I believe, where it starts out with this amazing doxology. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessings in Christ. And then it lays them out for us. And then it goes into a prayer, where Paul prays that we would know what the hope of our calling is and the God's glorious riches of inheritance in his saints and the surpassing greatness of the power. And then it goes into chapter 2, 1 through 3, 13, where it just lays out the gospel, just talking about the incredible plight that we are all in. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we followed the course of this world, and the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. We're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, but God. And then 2:11 to 22 goes on, and it says that we were far off, and Jesus brought us near through the blood of his cross. And then in chapter 3, 1 through 13, Paul talks about his unique role. Come back to that in a minute. And then he closes with the prayer and prays that that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted in God, we'd comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And then there's a doxology. So it goes doxology, prayer, gospel, prayer, doxology. And in chapter 2, where Paul is talking about the power of the gospel, the third part is he talks about the power of the gospel in his own life, that he was the chief of sinners, and God made his grace known to him and made him a steward of the mystery of God. And he starts talking about the mystery. And in that discussion about the mystery of God, he says, I wrote before in brief about it, and then he says this little verse. He says, and by reading, when you read, you can understand my mystery, my insight into the mystery of Christ. It's a pretty amazing statement. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. When he said my insight, he's talking about himself as an apostle, a revelatory spokesman that God has chosen to inerrantly communicate the Word of God. And by God's grace, he led these revelatory spokesmen to write down their thoughts in letters and in narratives, and it's recorded for us now in the Greek New Testament. And so then Paul says, and he's speaking now to Christians that are just filling up Ephesus and beyond, and he says, when you read, you can understand my insight. And I thought, well, how many people could read back in those days? And the percentage isn't very encouraging. I've heard arguments from anywhere from 5% to up to 30% were actually literate. And so you try to understand, what did Paul mean by reading? They didn't have the Bible like we did. But they gathered together, and the epistles, the letters, were read. And so he had high expectations of those that read his word and those that listened to his word read. High expectations. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, that's the longest sentence in the Bible. It's one sentence in the Greek text from 3 to 14. And so Paul expected people to hear what he was saying, read what he was writing, and to be able to follow his train of thought. And what I want to do this afternoon is to share with you just the importance of reading God's Word in a very intentional and very serious kind of way. And we call this seminar Mining God's Word. And I like that visual presentation, mining God's Word. Pastor John said in Future Grace, he's talking about reading the great books, and he said, "Good counsel tells me to alert the reader that what is coming may be heavy sledding. We are not used to reading material that is 2 centuries old, let alone 20 centuries old, from a thought world foreign to our day. Yet, as I said before, raking is easy, but you get only leaves. Digging is hard." And so what I want to do in this time is just to try to encourage you, just to continue your journey into digging into the Word of God. And so that's what I hope to do. And it has to do with just learning to read carefully. And all of us are in that process. And if you learn to read, and you know, as a five-year-old, and we're a phenom in your parents' eyes, we've learned that there's more to reading than just being able to put the letters together to articulate the words. But when you have an important document, you want to read it carefully. And when that document is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, you want to read it with utmost care. It is a treasure chest of holy joy. And so that's what I want to encourage us to do. And I'm going to do it by sharing a little bit of my own story. I'm so excited about this particular conference. Been to all of them, I think, just about since the beginning. And I'm especially excited about this one and the topic of looking at the book. And excited about the kind of the trajectory that God is moving Pastor John into in this next chapter of his life to help people who have been benefiting from his ministry. He's been kind of laying a feast before us, sitting in his study, thinking through how best to communicate it in ways that are understandable and powerful and persuasive, and we've been invited into the dining room to eat the feast year after year, and for Bethlehem members Sunday after Sunday. And what he feels led to do in these days is he says, "Okay, I want to bring you into the kitchen. I want to bring you into the kitchen to see how the feast is prepared." And so that's what this whole conference is about, is inviting you into the kitchen more and more. And a lot of you live in the kitchen, and you could teach me and him a bunch of wonderful things. But we're going to share what has impacted us the most. So my prayer is that as we enter into the plenary sessions, and John, I think, is going to march us through a portion of Scripture, that we would just be fully engaged and our noses would be in the book. I remember once in the early days at Bethlehem, and he was preaching, and it was a Sunday morning in the old sanctuary, and he just invited people to turn to a certain part of Scripture. And there was just a hush over the congregation. And for some reason, just the swish of the pages just thundered. And as people swished the pages to find that place in the Bible that he wanted to call our attention to, he just stood up and he said, "I love that sound. I love that sound." And so that's what we want to encourage us to do. Just to go deeper. And it's a lifelong thing. We're lifelong students of the Word of God. Even if we're preachers and teachers, of you are pastors and preachers, teachers of the Word of God, but we're all lifelong students. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit of my own journey. I grew up in a religious home, during the hippie movement, I kind of got swept away from my religious roots and began to go the way of the world in a more direct way. But during that time, when I was 14, my oldest sister became a Christian, and she told me that. And I was astonished because she was the best Christian I knew. She never got in trouble. That was my definition of Christianity. She never got in trouble. But she said, no, there's more to Christianity than going to church on Sunday. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. And for the first time in my life, she challenged me to read the Bible. I grew up in a home where there was a Bible on the coffee table. I brought some visual aids here. And I couldn't find the Bible that I grew up with, but it's this size. So this was on the coffee table. And every time I played in the living room, and I'd look at that book, and once in a while I would pick it up and open the pages. This happens to be an ESV Hindi version. So it's ESV English on one page, Hindi on the other. But it could have been that way for me growing up. It was Hindi for me. But I would open the Bible and look at the words, such small print, try to read a few, got maybe a paragraph, said this isn't for me, had great Italian art pictures, so I looked at the pictures, but I never cracked the book. I mean, it never became a part of my life. But my sister gave me a living Bible, a paraphrase that was used powerfully of God in those days. And I started reading the Bible like she told me to. And I actually read it from Matthew all the way to 1 Corinthians two different times. And finally, the boredom just overwhelmed me. I couldn't go any farther, close the book. So that was my condition. Reading the Bible was just the most boring book I ever read. Nothing to do with me, as far as I could tell. But then, when I was almost 17, God opened my eyes to see my utter need for a Savior. And the gospel that my sister had been sharing with me took root, and I saw it as the best news. And by God's sheer grace, I surrendered my life to Christ. And one of the keenest evidences to me that my life was changed, something fundamental was changed in my life, is that this book now became alive. Or I should say, I became alive to this book. And I couldn't get enough of it. Went out and bought my first Bible. And I didn't know anything about what kind of Bible, but this one looked really cool. It was brown and leather. And so I spent big money that I'd earned caddying or something, and I bought this Bible. And didn't know anything about versions in those days. And when I started reading it, it didn't sound like the Living Bible anymore. It was King James. So I didn't get very far in this one, but it's still precious to me. So, also shortly after I became a Christian, this was kind of part of the Jesus movement, you know, in those days. And I went to an upper room Bible study in Excelsior, Minnesota. And I was 3 weeks old as a Christian. And the man that was teaching it was a pastor. And he had hair down to his waist, so I thought, I can relate to this guy. And we went in and we sat together in kind of yoga position around just on the floor. And he went around and had every person talk about why they came. And I testified that I just became a Christian, and I was just born again, and I was hungry for God's word. And he wanted to study the Gospel of John. And he says, it's going to be a good book to study. John probably didn't write it, and there's mistakes in it, but it still has really good stuff. And the only thing that really matters is that you don't hurt anybody with what you do. You know. So that was my first Bible study. Meanwhile, the circle was all these hippies, but there was one guy that had a really short haircut, wire-rimmed glasses, a pen holder in his pocket with some pens, and he looked so out of place. But on my way out, he walked out with me, and he just heard I just became a Christian, and he was concerned about this Bible study. And he just came up to me, and he said, what'd you think about that? And I said, well, you know, I'm really hungry to know God's word. He said something that I didn't understand. I didn't think the Bible had mistakes in it and so forth, and he said, he took me out to the drugstore at the soda fountain. We got a cherry Coke or something like that. And he said, would you like to have a Bible study with me? And I said, sure. I mean, he could have been a Jehovah's Witness, he could have been a Mormon, he could have been anybody, but he just happened to be a born-again, Bible-believing Christian that was influenced by the Navigators. And so for the next year and a half, he met every Saturday morning with me and brought me through these booklets. Some of you might know these, but New Life in Christ booklets. They're just ask questions, give you a Bible verse. And so I would start out, and I didn't know if it was a New Testament, Old Testament reference, so I had to learn my Bible just to get around to find the Bible verse. Then you write your own answer down. But eventually, it began teaching you how to paraphrase the text. And so it just caused me to start to think through the text of Scripture. And so my hunger for God's Word was just growing. I wanted to do what I could to read as much of it as possible, and I couldn't put it down. And so I probably read it through two times the first year of my Christian life, just read it all the way through. And then I think I started on the third time, and all of a sudden, it became familiar to me. I kind of knew what was going to happen next. And so I thought, wow, you know, I was always afraid of being bored. And so all of a sudden, I was getting bored. I knew what was going to happen next. I knew this book. Give me another book. And that time, I needed to go to college. Had no desire to go to college, but my parents wanted me to go to a liberal arts college, and I found a liberal arts college with a Bible department. So I went to Bethel College, and I decided to go for a Bible major. And my second year that I was there, we heard about a new professor that was coming into the faculty. He had gotten his PhD in Germany. That was the mecca of theological education in those days, and so we were so excited that Dr. Piper was coming to Bethel College. And one of the regrets that I had was I enrolled in his Greek class, but when I got into class, the class was overflowing with students, and I kept waiting for Dr. Piper to show up, and he just didn't show up, you know. There's this TA-looking guy at the front that was just kind of rustling the papers around. All of a sudden, someone said, "That's Dr. Piper," and he looked like a teenager. And then the chairman of the Bible department, Walt Wessel, author, commentator on James and other things, he came in and he said, "This class is too big. Who will come out? And half of you must come with me and we'll start another section." So I looked at the teenager and I looked at Walt Wessel with the grain temples and the wire rim glasses, and I said, "I think I'll go with Walt Wessel." So I transferred out of the first class that John Piper taught. Then in January, that was fall, and then in January, I had the chance to take an interim class, a three-week intensive class at Bethel, and I had to choose. I got down to two courses. One was Ephesians with John Piper, and the other one was Contemporary Spirituality. And I thought, man, I heard Piper was really good after all. And so I wanted to do that, but then I said, no, I'm really struggling with my prayer life right now. And so I took Contemporary Spirituality. And during the point of that course was to try to show you how we could borrow from the world's religions and see some of their spiritual practices and then just kind of Christianize them for us. So I learned how to use Jesus beads. I learned techniques. And so I would walk out of class, you know, just with ashes in my mouth, kind of shuffling. And my friend Scott Hafman was in Ephesians across the hall, and he would come out of his class, and his feet wouldn't be touching the ground. So we would come out together with my shoulders are like this, and he was just on fire. And I remember walking down the hallway with him, and one day he said, "Tom, I think I just was converted today. You wouldn't believe what I'm seeing." And I just learned about Jesus beads and had nothing to say to him. So after that semester, I realized I need to start taking some courses from Dr. Piper. And I did, and I took everything I could from him, seven courses. And what I learned from him was just this high esteem for the Word of God. I mean, he really felt like when we were holding this book in your hands, that it was really the Word of God. It was an inspired, inerrant love letter from the Creator, Redeemer of the world. And what it said really mattered. And so he said, how do you read something that really matters? He was influenced by Mortimer Adler, who wrote a book called How to Read a Book. Fantastic classic in hermeneutics. And Mortimer Adler, one of the things he talks about there is variable speed reading. He said, it's good to learn to read different rates, and some things are really worth just speed reading. And other things you can read more slowly, but other things are of such vital importance, you need to labor over it and to come to terms with the author and just meditate on that text until you understand it, and you can so understand you can repeat the author's main point and argumentation in your own words. And that's what we were taught to do. And we were taught to take a text of Scripture, he did both in his English Bible classes and also in the Greek Bible classes that I took from him, but to take a paragraph of Scripture and to divide it up into its thoughts, and first of all, make sure that each thought, each proposition was understood, so he also taught us to diagram the sentences. And then he taught us to lay out each clause in an order and follow the train of thought, paying special attention to the connecting words and learning how to follow an author's train of thought. And that's what this arcing business is all about. So I'm not going to talk about that now. There's going to be an arcing seminar tomorrow at 1 o'clock that I'll tell more of, kind of introduce people, whoever is interested, to that method. But the thing I want to just to paint a picture for you right now is just what it was like for this small cohort of students to just labor together in the text of Scripture, learning to follow the author thought by thought by thought. And as you read, some things don't go the way you think they would, and you get surprised and you get troubled, and then how to articulate questions that would force you to go deeper until you understand. And it changed my life. So this book that was becoming boring because I was familiar with it, I knew which story was going to come next. I knew what David was going to do to Goliath, and I knew these things. But when I learned how to study what I call meticulously, not just the raking of the leaves, but the digging, the mining, the gold, I can testify that 40 years later, this book is as exciting to me as it's ever been. I realize that I'm not going to have long enough in this life to mine all the gold from this treasure chest and from this mine. And so I just am hoping and praying that God's going to use this conference to just invite us all into deeper study of God's Word, and you'll come with home with some tools of how to do it better. So after that, it was really through John's persuasion that I ended up going out to Fuller Seminary to study from the man that devised this arcing system. There's nothing magic about arcing. It's not the best method out there, I'm sure. There must be other ones that are better. It's just the best one I've ever discovered. And so I went out to Fuller and studied under the man that designed it. And it was just a very rich 2 years out there. And then while I was out there, I got a phone call, or I got a letter where John said, "I feel irretrievably called to leave teaching and go into pastoral ministry. Am I crazy?" And I remember shouting when I was reading it, "Yes, you're crazy." But it didn't persuade him. And then 2 months later, he called and, or he wrote another letter, I guess. It wasn't a phone call. He wrote another letter and he said, I've been called to serve at Bethlehem Baptist Church in downtown Minneapolis. Would you come and serve with me? And so I prayed, at least 2 seconds, and became absolutely persuaded that this is God's calling on my life, at least for the next chapter. And my wife wasn't quite as easily persuaded, but so we just talked and prayed about it for a while, but we said yes, and came back in 1980 and started working together. It was just exciting to see the Word of God take root in a church that loved the Bible, but weren't really inclined to study it in this kind of a way so much. But to see people just coming alive to Scripture. And a lot of older veterans were there, but also all these young people, college students and young career people started coming into the church. So we had almost all older people and younger people with a few in between. And but to see these students come in and just get a passion for studying Scripture carefully and reading carefully. And so as I look back at my 34 years at Bethlehem, and second, I got to see how much time I've got left. I'm doing a couple minutes. All my time at Bethlehem, that's been the theme, really, of all the different hats I've worn at the church, is that I just have a passion to draw people deeper into the study of Scripture. And so we started an apprenticeship program for students preparing for ministry. We started a nurture program for missionary candidates that would take the Word of God to the unreached peoples of the world. We started a lay institute called the Bethlehem Institute and Training Center. And then in 1998, we kind of upgraded all of that into what we called the Bethlehem Institute. And that was a two-year graduate level program that we then transformed into Bethlehem College and Seminary that was founded in 2009 and is continuing to grow at this point. And what really undergirds all that we do is we're teaching people the importance of reading this book carefully and reading any book that you're reading carefully, but reading the Scripture in particular carefully and thoughtfully, and then encouraging them to take what they read and to live it out in their lives, and then to communicate it in terms that other people can understand. And so the purpose of this gathering right now is just to kind of whet your appetite for what you're going to experience tonight and tomorrow. What you're going to see from Pastor John in this look at the book is you're going to see just a real simple way of communicating Scripture. He's just going to kind of bring you into the kitchen and help you see what he sees. But so it's not the arcing and the sentence diagramming that you're going to see, but just to realize that that's undergirding this. It was him learning the skills of how to see how words fit together to form meaning, and then how propositions fit together to form an idea, and to follow the author's train of thought so that we get their insight. Paul says, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. That's what we're after. We're not after using the Bible as kind of happy words launching us into creating our own reality, but rather we are coming into the Scripture because we are in desperate need for truth that's outside of ourselves to address the sin in our lives and to give us hope for the future and to show us what is the foundation for our forgiveness and how do we have power to live this life. And so we want to draw people into reading carefully the Word of God. One of the things that has also led us to do is to try to create some courses. We've been creating courses in Bethlehem, and we're excited about it. One is There's a course that's actually called Mining God's Word, and this is there's a student workbook and a teacher's workbook, but it's kind of a pre-arcing and diagramming book, just general Bible study principles that are vital. And the thing we're really excited about is that we're developing these into online courses, and so we've got 3 online courses that are launching this weekend. And then another one that's a companion course to this one that's going to launch, Lord willing, in 2 or 3 months. So keep your eyes open for that to see if that might be an inspiration to you and to help you study God's Word. Just to tempt you to come back to the Arcing Seminar, here's Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. In sentence diagram form, okay? So this has forced me to take every single word and say, how does it fit in to form this clause and this idea? And this, how do you visually represent it so that you've accounted for every single word? So that's one thing. And then the next step is to arc it. So this is my attempt to arc Romans 14 and 15, okay? But thankfully now, we've got it online called BibleArc.com, so you don't have to do this kind of stuff anymore. So come back and learn more about BibleArc if you would. But do whatever you can while you're here to just be inspired to go deep into God's Word and to mining gold from God's Word. It is a treasure chest of holy joy, and it's worth every ounce of energy that you have. So, God bless you as you engage in this conference. Let me pray. Oh Lord, how we love your word. It is our meditation all the day. Open our eyes to see wonderful things from your law. Give us understanding, Lord, that we might live and that we might be able to help other people live, because we acknowledge that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. So Lord, come. I pray that you would anoint all those that are doing breakout sessions and talks around this building, and then Pastor John as he just lays out for us just how to look at the book in more and more careful ways. So thank you for every person here. Lord, thank you that I could sit under probably every one of them and learn so much from your word, because you teach all of us from your word. Help us to take what we've learned and to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.